black thing go from left to right, and I thought, I'm going to die out here. No one's ever going to know.
And I couldn't believe what my eyeballs were showing me. I'll never forget how evil the eyes were. It was horrible. I mean, I've never seen nothing that evil.
It ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. Turned and stared at me. And this look of, I just want to kill you. I want to say it was human, but it wasn't.
He was yelling at me to grab a gun, grab a gun. I was like, for what? He said, just grab a gun. And there's footprints all the way to the door of my house. It had went inside my garage all the way to the door.
911, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sir? See ya.
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Check us out online at sasquatchchronicles.com. If you've had an encounter, email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight, Sunday night. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen. And an interesting show tonight. I'm going to be welcoming Nathan Rio to the show, otherwise known on YouTube as Utah Sasquatch. And Nathan started out as a skeptic, and he was going to prove to his nephew that this whole Bigfoot Sasquatch thing was nothing but nonsense. And he ended up having a couple encounters, and he'll be sharing some of those tonight. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And I want to take a moment to thank Mark M. He sent me a Bigfoot keychain. You can see it here. I'm here in the Sasquatch Chronicles studio. For those on the members on the website, you can see it right here over my shoulder. And I'll be shooting different videos as Nathan and I talk tonight over my shoulder. But I want to thank Mark. Probably one of the coolest keychains I've ever had. I know it sounds kind of goofy, but it really is a cool keychain. It is, it's made from an engine. I asked Mark, I said, what material did you make this out of? And he told me it was actually made from an engine block. Very cool stuff. And I want to thank Mark. Next week, I'll probably have Mark on the show to come on and talk about them, because I mean, I would have paid $20-$30 for this keychain, and I treasure gifts like that, you know, from people that come from the heart. So thank you again, Mark. And again, tonight we're going to be talking to Nathan Rio. I want to welcome Nathan to the show. Nathan, thanks for coming on, man.
I appreciate you having me on.
No, I appreciate you coming on. And I know I kind of want to talk about your journey through this whole crazy Bigfoot world. From the beginning, I know you were somewhat of a skeptic, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. So back in the day, I'm only 32 years old. So when I say back in the day, it just means like a couple of years ago. But, I'm a professional scouter. I was running Boy Scout camps for the BSA, Boy Scouts of America. And, I was training scoutmasters. That was part of my job. And I remember, you know, I'd go into camps, I'd check on people, check on the boys, the troops, make sure everyone was having a good time. They would be, you know, sometimes I'd come at night, they'd be telling scary stories around the fire. And I always thought that was fun. And once in a while, I'd hear a scoutmaster talking about Bigfoot, you know, and I thought it was really fun to tell scary stories about Bigfoot too. I mean, I like to scare the scouts with the stories. I think it's fun. But once in a while, a scout leader would be actually like seriously, you could tell that he seriously believed that Bigfoot was real. And I just remember thinking, like, I feel so sorry for these kids, you know, like I feel so sorry that some adult that should know better is telling them that Bigfoot's real, you know? And so those are the feelings that I remember having about Bigfoot. I just thought, it's just so ridiculous. There's no way this thing exists. And then my nephew and I, one day we were having a conversation actually in my backyard around a fire. And he told me, dude, my friend's dad had a Bigfoot experience and Bigfoot's real. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no, not my nephew. And so I was like, Charlie, listen to me. Bigfoot is not real. And he's like, yes, it is, dude. And I'm like, no, Charlie, don't ever draw conclusions about things until you've researched it. But like right in that moment, I realized that that was exactly what I was doing. You know, I realized I was a total hypocrite. I haven't ever researched Bigfoot at all. I didn't even think there was anything to research, but I felt like a hypocrite. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to research this and I'm going to prove to him that Bigfoot's not real. As soon as I started research, like actually researching it, I was trying to find like scholarly articles and like science stuff. And it was pretty hard, but I eventually realized just within like the first week, I realized that there was a lot more to Bigfoot than I ever realized. You know, like I learned that for thousands of years, the Native Americans have, you know, had all sorts of traditions, like hundreds of different tribes have had, you know, all these different thousands of different words for it. It was a worldwide phenomenon. It happened in Australia, South America, you know, the Caucasus Mountains, China, you know, everywhere. And I was just like, what the freak, man? And pretty soon I found your show, man. And it was awesome. I mean, right off the bat, Wes, when I found your show, I was like, this is so incredibly fascinating. I still don't believe in Bigfoot, but I'm like, I'm intrigued enough that I just want to stick around and see, you know, what these people say. Because you were having some really, really good, you know, witnesses on. And I was like, oh my gosh, these people sound really credible. How am I going to deal with this? And I was just determined to prove, to get to the bottom of this and prove that it was all fake, you know. But, you know, I became totally addicted to your show, dude.
I appreciate that.
No, seriously, your show is so amazing. You know, I want to just take a little bit of time to seriously just thank you, man. I mean, I thanked you last night when we talked on the phone, but I just want to thank you publicly I want to thank you for three things specifically that I feel that you've done just a freaking amazing job at. The first one is you elevate kind of the average person. You know, you've created an environment where like average people want to come and talk about average encounters. And that's what you've just done a good job at making people, like normal, ordinary people, feel comfortable. The other thing is you just let guests speak. You know, and you know this, you know, we talked about this last night. Like there's so many shows where for some reason the show is about the host and it's not about the guest, but you just completely reverse that. So, you know, dude, I'm just really grateful for that. And then the third thing is and this is really cool, man. Like you don't try to be anything, you never say, well, you know, I was the first to discover that blah, blah, blah. You never say anything like that. You never say, well, you know, in all of my experience, you don't try to be somebody that's knowledgeable. You're just a humble guy. And, yeah, I mean, I know that this is kind of cheesy for me to point this all out to you, but I really think that, if I didn't say this stuff, like I would regret it. I just really appreciate your show. Anyway. So.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate the kind words. And like I always said, the show, if I made the show about myself, it wouldn't be that interesting because I'm not that interesting of a guy. But, you know, it's always been about the guests, but I appreciate the kind words. And so you decided to actually go out and start looking for these things.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Let's talk about your first encounter.
Okay.
Tell us what you were out doing and what you saw, what you ran into.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, after so many times of listening to your podcast, I was like, okay, I'm starting to realize this is real. And dude, to be honest, I have way too much ADD and I need to be out doing hands-on stuff. So I decided I'm going to figure out, you know, where I should go to optimize my chances to actually see one of these things. You know, to learn about them and see them for, like, firsthand, because there's got to be some in Utah. And how hard could it be? You know, I have to find a way to find these things. There's got to be a way. And so I ended up, you know, getting in the forest, I started to experience knocks and all that stuff. I got bluff charged by one, but if it's okay, I'll just talk about my first sighting that I had.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So it was early December 2015, and it was daytime, and I was walking around just in the forest. I wasn't on a trail. I was kind of walking around, kind of admiring some of these weird tree structures that are around and stuff. And I came out into the opening, and there was a big gorge. There was a river down in the bottom of the ravine. And then there was another ridge on the other side, about, I don't know, 600 or 700 feet away from me. So I look over and I see this huge, tall person completely dressed in black, and they're just staring at me, and they hardly move a muscle. In fact, as soon as I looked over, there was a smaller one standing in front. And as soon as I looked over, that one jumped behind a bush. It crouched down and I never saw it again. It didn't pop up or anything. It just stayed right there behind the bush. But the other one, it didn't move at all. And, you know, it looked a lot like the Grim Reaper. I know that's weird to say, but it was so black, and it was super tall, and it just looked like, it looked almost like somebody was on stilts and they were wearing like a giant black robe. Like, I guess it was a more conical head, and it was just totally black, the whole thing. But I could tell that it wasn't clothing, because the thing once in a while would kind of move its head, and I saw its elbows move a few times. So I knew that it was just standing there. And we stared at each other for probably like 10 minutes. And then I decided, you know, I'm going to try to kind of hike to a place where I can get a better view. And so I started walking towards it. And as I was sliding down an embankment, I looked back up and it was gone. So it basically stood there completely still staring at me. And then as soon as I kind of looked away and started doing something else, it just left. So that's kind of unexciting, but that was my very first sighting. And yeah, that was crazy, man. That was surreal.
Let me ask you, how far away from you was this thing? What kind of a distance are we talking about?
Like 600 or 700 feet. It was pretty far. So I wasn't able to see tons of detail. In fact, I actually filmed this entire thing, but then I looked at the footage afterwards and I'm like, this is so stupid. Why did I even film that, dude? That's dumb. I think I posted a picture of like this crappy, grainy, horrible picture on your website in the forum a long time ago. But yeah, I mean, I didn't see any detail. All I saw was, you know, just this tall, black, hooded figure, basically. But it was super tall, though. It was definitely taller than a person.
And it's interesting that you say hooded. You know, I've had people on the show in the past where they'll see one from a distance, and when they see it, you know, I've had people say, well, it looked like it had a hood on. Reminded me of an African-American with a hood on. And then when they start getting a closer look, they realize it's not a hood. It's actually that conical head that they're looking at. How are you feeling? I mean, tell me your whole thought process when you saw this thing.
Okay, so I looked over and I it caught my eye, and then I kind of focused on it, and I'm like, holy crap, there's actually something standing right there facing me. I mean, I could see it's the hooded head, like you said, then the shoulders, and then it came down. I could kind of see the elbows, and then it just went, the rest of its body went straight down. Like it didn't taper in or anything. It went straight down, just barrel chested. And I didn't see the lower part of its legs because it was obscured by the brush. But, I wasn't in shock or anything. I wasn't afraid. I was just completely fascinated, and I just couldn't really believe that this was actually happening. I was still kind of in the phase where I didn't completely want to admit to myself that I believed in Bigfoot, which is stupid, I know, but like I kind of felt embarrassed to actually tell myself that I actually believed in it. And so I kept trying to, this is weird, but sometimes when you see something like that, your brain is trying everything to explain it. Like, oh, that's got to be a guy on stilts standing in the woods, you know. And I was at like 8,000 feet in the mountains. I was out in the middle of nowhere by myself. There's no way that was a guy on stilts in a freaking hood, you know. But yeah, that was kind of the feeling, just kind of wonder and awe.
Yeah, I don't think that's ridiculous at all. I think a lot of people, myself included, when you have an encounter, you really try to find another answer for it besides Bigfoot, because yeah. You know it's got to be something else. And then when you start playing everything through your head as far as what else it could be, nothing else really makes sense. Did you decide to start looking in that area? Is that where you go to?
Exactly. Yeah, dude. So I actually hiked all the way over there that day. I think this was like sometime around noon. It was kind of overcast. And anyway, I hiked all the way over there and I looked around. I ended up standing in the exact same spot that this thing had been standing. It was right by a gigantic pine tree on the ridge of the opposite hill from me. So I hiked over there and I was really excited to look for footprints. I didn't find any footprints. I did find a ton of crazy, weird tree structures. I mean, I found one structure. It was like two trees totally suspended off the ground, and they were forming an X, and they were balancing on top of another broken tree. So it was like a gigantic golfer's tee. You know how they stick those little tees in the ground? Yeah. It was like two gigantic trees with their root balls in the air balancing in an X formation. It was just the weirdest freaking thing. And so, I kept going back and I actually ended up having, so that was my first sighting. I had two more sightings, close to that, area.
Well, tell us about your second sighting.
All right. So, my second sighting, so I was actually in a canyon and I was actually showing a guy. So this is a little bit later. I was showing a guy how I kind of, how just me, according to my own opinion, locate their little travel ways, their little corridors. I look for tree breaks and tree twists and just weird stuff. And you can kind of tell where something big has been walking through the forest. There's a big, it looks like kind of a big empty hallway with a bunch of weird twists and breaks. So anyway, I had a guy with me and I was pointing down this little hallway thing, this little area, this pathway in the woods. And, I pointed down there several times. And there was a big boulder down there, and it had a big shadow on one side of the boulder. Nothing out of the ordinary. So we were talking and I was kind of showing him some stuff. And all of a sudden, what I thought was the shadow of the boulder, it started turning around and looking back and forth really frantically. It was looking at me and then it was looking behind it, looking at me and looking behind it. And it was just flicking its head back and forth super fast. And it was just kind of spazzing out, to be honest. totally spazzing out. Like, I don't think anybody could turn their head that fast. It was like, if you put, if you pushed fast forward on something, you know? And I guess it was nervous. The only thing I can think of is that it was nervous that I was, it thought that I was pointing at it, but I didn't see it and I wasn't pointing at it. I was actually just pointing at some of the trees down there. Anyway, so this, I didn't really understand my brain. It all happened so fast. My brain wasn't really processing like what this was. And finally, when I started to realize that it was a head that was turning back and forth super fast and shoulders and all this stuff, that's right when it turned. It turned completely around. So its back was facing me and landed on all fours. It just turned and immediately got on all fours and it ran away. If this thing was big, it looked like a bear. It looked like a black bear, except for it wasn't round like a black bear. It was completely flat on the top, you know, like a man's back, like shoulder blades. And as it was running away, I remember the hair on its shoulder blades, blades flapping up as it was running and kind of its muscles were moving and bouncing and stuff. And this, and the hair on its back was kind of flapping up as it would run. And so I knew it wasn't a bear. And I was like, it all happened so quick. We're talking like maybe 3 seconds. And this thing was dark. It was super dark. It wasn't completely black. It was like the color. It was like the color of like a really like a turkey. It was the color of a turkey. You know, that kind of that dark brownish red color. Or maybe like a dark moose. That's kind of the color that it was. But so that was my second sighting. The crappy thing about that one was, here I am with somebody. We're both, he's standing about 5 feet away from me. We're both staring into the woods. And I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, did you just see that here? I'm going to run over here and you run over here. And I wanted to get another glimpse of it. And he's like, what did you see? He didn't see a single freaking thing. The entire time he didn't see anything. And so he took off running down the trail and I tried to circle around, but it was gone. It just moved too fast. So kind of the weird things about that, sighting was that one, everything was 100% silent. There was not a single noise that that thing made at all. And the bizarre thing, this is kind of weird, but there were like a bunch of dry leaves on the ground. And this thing was actually running through scrub oak, and this is late in the year. This is before the, when was this? It was either before the big snow, or it was while the snow was melting, because there was a pretty big winter. But anyway, there were dry leaves all over the ground, and it didn't make a single sound while it was running away.
I want to ask you about that. You know, I was doing a TV show for this Canadian company, and I was talking about my own encounter, and I was talking about when we saw the one in the tree, and then we looked back up, and it's gone. And I told them, I said, I never heard that thing drop. I never heard it leave the tree. It was just gone.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain to them, I said, you know, I don't really have an explanation why it should have made a lot of noise coming down off that tree. But when you see this thing running through the leaves and there's no noise, do you think it's something odd going on? Or do you think that your brain, I'm trying to think how to ask this question. You know, sometimes in car accidents, if you talk to someone who's been in a car accident, they'll hear nothing. There's no noise. And you know there's noise. I mean, two cars smashing into each other. But if you ask a person who's been in a car accident, they'll describe it as there's no noise. They didn't hear anything. A lot of times, not always. But do you think that's more of our brain, or do you think that there's something strange going on there? And there's no wrong answer. I'm just curious what your opinion is.
Yeah, dude, I actually don't know. I have no idea. Maybe I was excited and I was just so kind of wrapped up in everything that I didn't remember hearing stuff, or I didn't hear anything. Or, and this is kind of weird, I just don't know how to explain this. I mean, one option is that I just didn't hear anything, like you said. I was just too zoned in. And the other option is, you know, maybe it was just too far away. So maybe it was making sound, but it was too soft and it didn't get to me. And that's probably what actually happened. But the third option is that it actually just didn't make any sound while it was running away. And I don't know. I actually don't know what to think about that. I walked over there. I mean, we could see it was standing in a bunch of, it was in a bunch of structures, just like the first sighting I had. It was right near some teepees and some weird little other stick structures. And it actually had built a pretty cool little lookout for itself. Probably never thought anybody was going to actually look up there and notice it. But I walked all the way over there, and we actually did find prints near that area. But anyway, I was making all sorts of noises, and I was like, how on earth? I was like crunching the leaves, and I'm like, how on earth did this thing not make noise? So that was weird. But honestly, the most interesting thing about that sighting to me was that it looked almost exactly, at least it looked very, very similar to Todd Standing's, you know, Bigfoot that he, I don't know if it's a real Bigfoot. I have no idea. I don't know very much at all about Todd Standing. I don't have an opinion on Todd Standing, but the photo or video or whatever that he put out, I think it's called Video 2. It's a picture, a really clear picture of allegedly of a Sasquatch. And it's darker. It's really dark brown. And it looks very, very much like that one that I saw. I got the impression that it was younger. Got the impression that it was probably like a young teenager, like 13, 14 years old. But that's just totally, I have no idea how accurate that is. But
yeah, it's interesting anyway. You say that. I've talked to other researchers that won't say it publicly, but he has some other photo, and I don't really have an opinion of Todd Standing one way or another. You know, it's not my type of show where I bash people, but he has one that looks kind of like people describe it as Michael Jackson. It sounds racist saying that, but he has one that it just has that real odd look to it. And I talked to a guy down in Texas that never came on the air, and he said, you know what, that's actually what he saw. It's identical to what he saw. And he was showing me the photo, and I was like, are you sure that's what he saw? And he's like, that's exactly what I saw. And so I wanted to ask you, how big were the footprints that you came across down there?
So we did not, as far as I can remember, we did not actually find footprints where it had been crouching and where it had run away. But we did find footprints about 10, 15 feet away from it, coming down a mud embankment. And so at least the guy that was with me was able to see, you know, well, both of us were able to see these awesome footprints. They were probably, gosh, I've honestly seen so many footprints up there. These ones were probably about 14, 15 inches. They weren't monstrous, but they were big. You know, they're probably like palm alone size. I don't know.
Yeah. So. And it's interesting too, you talk about the jerky motions. I was talking about this on episode 305, where this guy was describing rock apes to me. And he was saying that in Vietnam, the rock apes, and this guy's like 68 years old, and we were talking about it, and he said they move like mice. And I said, why do you say that? Why do you say like mice? And he said, if you ever watch how a mouse moves, these things are very similar, except for these things are 8 feet tall and 800-900 pounds. He said, but they move like mice. They have real quick, jerky motions. And I've had other people on the show that describe that when they see it. They say, you know, I had one episode, I think I named it, it moved like a crackhead. And that's what the guy was describing it. He said it just had quick, jerky. I probably should have named it something else, but he was saying it moved like a crackhead. Reminded him of a crackhead, someone on meth. The way it quickly moved and had real quick jerky motions. And that's interesting that you saw the same thing.
Oh, yeah, dude. And that's cool that he said it was like a mouse. Yeah. I mean, it was totally, totally like twitchy, I mean, before it started moving, it was stone cold still, stone cold. It wasn't moving at all as far as I could. I mean, I guess I wasn't really paying attention to it. But man, once it started moving, it was like freaking out. It was panicking. Definitely like the entire feeling and sense that I got while I was watching this thing is absolute panic. Because it was like the third time I had pointed down towards it. And it probably thought, okay, he's pointed at me three times. Like, oh my gosh, he totally, they see me. I guess that's the only thing I can think that he was, that this Sasquatch was thinking. I don't know if it was a boy or a girl, of course. But anyway, yeah, it was a spaz, dude. It was very jerky, very twitchy. So flipping its head. It was flipping its head completely towards me and then 180 degrees back. Like he was flipping his head super, super quick. But yeah, the crazy thing, is the Todd Standing, is the similarities between the Todd Standing, picture and that one. But, anyway, there is an interesting thing. Like you talk about that one that looks like Michael Jackson. It's a little bit lighter and people say it looks like a Muppet. You know, there's been tons of criticism about it, but people have photoshopped kind of there's plants and stuff in front of its face, and people with Photoshop have removed those plants so you can kind of see the full face. But the something that I just want to mention just really quick is that I don't think they photoshopped that correctly, because that lighter one actually has shaggy fur on its face. It's not this like nice little velvet like doll looking fuzz. Anyway, that's just something that I noticed, because I'm an artist and I just noticed those little things. But anyway,
yeah, no, and again I don't have opinion one way or another about Todd Standing. The only thing I will say is he does invite people out. He says, if you don't believe me, come out with me. And so, you know, people spend so much time criticizing his photos and everything else, and you know, if these people call them researchers, we'll go research it. Go out with the guy and then come back and tell us what you find. Don't spend time behind your computer trashing the guy. And I'm not sticking up for him. I'm just saying what makes sense to me, all these researchers, but none of them know how to research anything. They just sit behind their computer and they criticize a photo. And but yet this guy is willing to take out anyone that wants to go out. He'll take you to the area. And so, and it's interesting. I mean, people I've talked to have seen the exact same thing he posts. I have talked to witnesses off the air that have said that's exactly what they saw.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird, man. You know, just another thing that's kind of weird about it to me is that, I can't really remember seeing its mouth in my sighting, but in Todd Standing's photo, the mouth is pretty much the same size, as a human's mouth. But a lot of people have talked about their mouth being super freaking wide. They could like fit a softball in their mouth. So maybe if his photo is real, again, I have no idea if it is, but if that photo is real, then maybe their mouth gets bigger as they grow. I mean, I don't know. But anyway, that's just weird. It's just interesting. So back to the place where I had my first sighting, the third sighting I had was actually one that was kind of the color of a grizzly bear. And it was like, this happened during a video I made. It's called Monument Wallow. And that became all controversial. And so it was like too overwhelming.
you worry too much about what these people on these little social medias and all these Facebook groups. And I didn't mean to cut you off. Don't worry about those people, man.
No. Yeah. You know, it's so hard not to, it's so hard for me not to like sit there and think about like the negative comments. It's so stupid. I know it's stupid, dude, but you just think about the negative stuff. People can say all sorts of positive things to you, but you're going to sit there and stew and fret over like the one negative thing. And I'm getting better at it. You know, I'm starting to kind of just realize that people are idiots, but
yeah, no, anyway. I understand. And I guess I'm somewhat hypocritical, because, you know, I say, don't worry about it, but I've quit the show privately several times a week. I've quit actually doing the show. No one knows that publicly, but but privately, I've actually quit doing the show. So I understand. I mean, and you're right. You do. You'll get 20 nice comments, and then you'll get the one jerk that goes on there, and you know, and that's what I guess maybe it's human nature. But tell us about your third encounter. Was it in the same area?
So it was pretty close. I didn't know that this had become a video called Monument Wall. I was just shooting like I always do. And the funny thing about this one was I heard it before I saw it. It was doing this like, blah, 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 like with this weird, it was one of the first times, I think I had heard something similar before, but it was one of the first times that I had heard like talking noises that sounded very much just like talking, like some other weird language, you know, and a lot of the softer tones of whatever he was saying didn't make it through in the video. But anyway, so I heard this stuff and I'm like, holy freaking crap, what is that? And so I look over and I see something is leaning out from behind a big tree. And it's the color of a grizzly bear, kind of that light honey brown color. Well, not so light, but anyway, the sun was hitting its shoulder and its arm. And I saw its shoulder, part of its neck. I saw the entire arm, the hand, and then the entire leg until it faded into the grass and the shrubs. But it was like, it was very slightly kind of rocking back and forth, but just very, very, just a little tiny bit. But I could tell that it was like, it was making noise, so I knew where it was. But it was basically leaning out to show me like, hey, there's a big animal here. You know, I'm here. And so I wonder if it was trying to, intimidate me. Yeah, that was pretty tense. I didn't actually know what to do. But eventually I kind of just, stood there. My adrenaline was pumping. I kind of just stood there and watched it. And I tried to speak to it. You know how you speak to like if you ever come across a bear, you know how you're supposed to be like, hey, bear,
yeah.
You're supposed to talk to them. I was like, hey guys, it's okay. Like, you know, I was trying to just maybe account, like calm myself down, I guess. But, anyway, I was speaking to it and eventually it kind of stopped, making like, threatening noises and it just kind of chilled there. And I think it kind of just observed me, you know. It was, and this, by the way, is in broad daylight. So this is in the middle of the day. So that was interesting, but eventually it kind of picked back up, started breaking a bunch of stuff. There was, one or two others that kind of flanked me and I didn't see them. And I never even saw more. The first one that I saw, I never saw more than what I just described. You know, I only saw that part of his body and then he went somewhere else and I never could figure out where he was. But anyway, they started making noise. And so I was like, okay, I'm getting out of here, guys. Sorry. And I just left. So that was my third sighting. The fourth sighting happened on the exact same day. I know this is weird. This is crazy to say, but it was the exact same day. And I was actually in the same place. I was like a mile and a half from the place where I had the sighting. And I was on a road and my dog, Callie, ran up the hill. And when she started running up the hill, I heard stomping and I heard whooping and I heard a stick breaking. And I'm like, oh, great. You know, there's another. And I was kind of spooked as it was. And I didn't really want to have another sighting. So I was like, great, there's a Sasquatch right up there. This is like 30 feet away, dude. So I was standing down on the road and I was kind of looking up at where my dog was. And all of a sudden, just this very small child It was just a child, and it was pure black. It wasn't dark, dark brown. It was black, black. It stood up from behind a little stick structure, it looked like a blind. And I saw, this is only 30 feet away. And this was incredible, dude. This was it's my favorite sighting. It was just intense. It was incredible. There was no fear. I didn't fear anything. It was very small. It had to be, it's like the equivalent to our 5 or 6 year old, you know. When I saw it, I thought, in fact, you know, this is weird, but the first thing I thought when I saw this thing, it stood right up from behind the woodpile. The first thing I thought was, that's a lost child wearing black spandex, like black velvety spandex. I know that that's weird to say, but that was the very first thing that went through my mind. And it was just, the reason I thought that is because it looked so human. It looked almost exactly like just a normal human child, except for the head was a little bit lower set and it was a little bit elongated. And again, back to the Todd Standing, the video too, this one looked like a smaller version of the Todd Standing one. So kind of the same shape head. That's the thing that stuck out to me, is the shape of its head. But I saw its shoulders. I saw its armpits. I saw its right hand, its elbows. It was squatting up and down. Super. Again, dude, this one was spazzing out. Totally spazzing out. Squatting up and down super fast. And when I say fast, dude, I mean super fast, like unnaturally fast. There's no way somebody could squat from squatting completely on the ground to standing almost completely straight up. There's no possible way that anyone on earth could do that fast. And the only thing that, I don't even know how that's even possible. Maybe it was holding on to something. So it was like pulling itself down extra fast, because you can't even fall that fast, dude.
Would you say it looked more human-like than, you know, totally. Sometimes people see these things and they'll say, well, it looked more like a chimpanzee. Or sometimes people see these things and they'll say, well, it looked like a gorilla, but with a flat nose. But what you saw looked, and sometimes people see these things and say it looked very human-like. If you talk to Mike Woolley, most people know that encounter. He says it looked, except for the rest of the body, but the face looked very Native American, is kind of how he describes it. And what you saw, you would say it looked more human?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. There was nothing about this that looked, of course, I'm not saying that I saw it perfectly, because it was silhouetted against the sky. And again, this was broad daylight, the sun was out, so I didn't see the frontal detail of it. It was silhouetted. So the details that I did see were the sun shining through, shining on its fur, and the sun was basically glistening off its fur in like a golden yellow shine. But I didn't see the face at all, except for when, again, this one was turning its head. It's almost the same exact thing that the second sighting was doing. It was flipping its head back and forth, just at the same speed, crazy fast. But this one was squatting up and down while it was doing it, and it was going from putting its hand on the ground to putting its hand up on one of the sticks in the stick structure. But when it turned its head, I could see that it had a flat face. Like, I could see the profile of its face. It had a flat face. I could see its chin, and I could see its neck. I could see its neck. And that was something that I kind of keyed in on, because it was just so weird that I could see its neck just like a normal person. But I could see that it had black hair completely covering its body. So the hair was probably like just a little bit under an inch long, or maybe an inch, but it was uniformly covering its body. I didn't see lighter skin on the face. As far as I'm concerned, everything about this thing was black. Even the skin, I didn't see any lighter parts at all, except for the sun glistening through its fur on his shoulder and on his head and stuff. But anyway, in the blink of an eye, this thing just turned around and dashed away. But while it turned around, this is pretty cool. While it turned around, it threw its arm forward. So almost like it was, I don't know why it did this. It was almost like it was swimming, or maybe it was giving itself momentum to run or something, but it threw its arm straight out in front of it. And it ran like while it was running, it was like doing the swimming stroke. What do you call that? What do you call that swimming? Just the normal swimming stroke where you reach your arm up and it yeah. takes the water back.
No, I know that's, what you mean.
That's how it was running. It was really cool. But this thing was definitely a small child. There's no question about it.
And it's interesting. So, you know, one of the things, you know, a lot of people listening to this might go, well, how many counters does this guy have? But, you know, I did a member show. I don't remember how long ago it was. It was probably a couple months ago. Where you took a guy out named, I think his name was David.
Yeah, David.
And he was like, this guy's no joke, man. He finds areas, and he was terrified. And, you know, he was saying, you know, Nathan's pretty cool and calm out there. And that night was a scary night. I'll have to look up which episode it was. But he did a great job describing the area, describing what you guys ran into. And he actually started walking towards this thing. And yeah. then he... decided, you know, really quick that was a bad idea because it wasn't having it. But is it, were you going out there looking for these things?
Well, here's the thing, dude. This is how it works. And I don't understand why people don't see this. The amount of time you spend in the woods actually looking for these things, following their sign, their tree structures or their prints or whatever, the amount of time that you spend out there is directly correlated with the amount of activity you get. So I don't understand why that's hard for people like to believe.
No, it makes sense.
I mean, and really, listening to your show, you kept saying, you know, be careful what you wish for. You might just run into one of these things. You kept saying stuff like, you know, if you go out looking for these things, you'll probably find them. And you said that so often that I started thinking, oh my gosh, why am I not out in the freaking woods, man? Why am I not out there looking around? Because maybe it is possible to figure out kind of how these things work and stuff. And it's true. It's really, and I want to say this, every single sighting that I've had, and I'm not going to say I've had any super amazing sightings, because there's people that have been on your show that have had like face to face, 5 feet away type stuff. But every single time I've had a sighting, it was among tree structures. Every single time, it was either standing right among tree structures, or it was close to tree structures, like within 30, 40 feet of tree structures. And so really, you know, I don't know how to have a sighting. It's totally unpredictable. I don't know how to go and see these things. I'm not as good as Bob Garrett. I mean, Bob Garrett knows where to put the trail cameras. He knows, you know, where to walk. And Bob Garrett's probably had dozens and dozens of sightings. So it's really not, people think it's weird that I've had, you know, I'm going to talk about 6 sightings that I've had. They think that, oh my gosh, that's way too much. This guy's crazy. But really, it's not much at all if you consider the hundreds and hundreds, and probably thousands of hours I've spent out in the woods. You know, I personally feel like I never have sightings. So that's how I feel about it. Anyway, sorry about that rant.
No rant at all. And I get what you're saying. I mean, most of the time when people have sightings, they're out hiking and they'll have one-time sighting, or they're out hunting. There's actually a lot of hunters who have more than one sighting. But you're right, you have to get out there. And most of them are by chance. But you're actually out in these areas. I wanted to ask you, before we get into your next sighting, and remind me about Bob Garrett. I've never seen anyone track the way he tracks. I mean, I've just never... Yeah. this guy can track. I've said it in the past. And if I was on the run up in the mountains and he was chasing me, I would just sit down and just wait for him because there's no way I'd get away from him. What's your take on the structures? What kind of structures are you finding and what's your take on it?
So I'm going to be honest. I totally thought tree structures were so stupid, man. Like I hear people come on your show and talk about them. And I was like, honestly, that is the last thing I'm going to believe because, deadfall does really silly things when it falls or when the wind blows it down or whatever. So I was like, these people are getting excited over nothing. But when I started to actually go out for myself and look through the forest, I was astounded. The tree structures, you know, they're in little teepees or maybe there's a log leaned, it's pulled out of the ground completely and it's dragged up a hill and it's leaned against another tree. There's big X's on the ground. There's star shapes. There's wigwams, teepees. There's symmetrical teepee looking things. I call them pyramids. There's a whole series of different types of structures, almost like letters in the alphabet, to be honest. It's almost like Chinese characters, and they're distinct and different, and they use the same structures over and over and over. They use the same character, like the Chinese alphabet. They use the same Chinese characters over and over and over, and there's like a limited amount of tree structures that they do. It's crazy, man. It's fascinating. And some of the tree structures seem to be for hunting purposes. Like they'll make a little, basically like a dead end or like a J shape along a game trail so that if a deer runs in there, there's no way out. And, you know, they'll do like hunting structures. They'll do structures that I think are for communication. Like they'll do little weird little stick shapes on the ground that are way too intentional. I mean, you can tell that they didn't fall that way. They're placed that way. I have no idea what they mean, but, and then the other structures seem to be to indicate like where they go. Anyway, what I realized early on is that if you follow these structures, they lead to more structures. Most of the forest doesn't have structures in it, but you'll find there's like these lines of structures that go through the forest. So it's almost like these pathways of structures. I just basically, my little tracking method is just really simple. I wouldn't even call it tracking anymore, to be honest. I just follow these things around and the rest of the stuff just happens. It just happens. You know, you hear stuff and you get stuff thrown at you and you find prints. And that stuff just happens as you follow these weird structures around. So, I mean, that's really, it's super simple. I'm not, see, Bob Garrett, he's, you and I know his background. He's highly skilled. He's not a guy that you want to mess with. He knows what he's doing. I don't have the methodology that he has. And so I'm not, by no means am I good at finding these things. Like Bob Garrett can actually find them and capture them on camera. I don't know how to do that. But yeah, man, like as you follow these weird little structures around, you know, things happen. And that's where the sightings happen.
Do you ever,
for me?
Yeah, no, and I appreciate you kind of going and giving us a little bit of information about the structures. Does it worry you at all going out there? I mean, do you ever get to a point where you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it out of here? You know, a lot of researchers, they get into situations to where, and I've talked to them privately about it. Rarely do they ever talk about it publicly, and if you don't want to, it's okay. You can just say next question. Yeah, I got thick skin.
Pass.
Okay.
No, it's fine, man.
Does it worry you at all going out there, though? I mean, does it? I'd like to be a big tough guy and say that these things don't terrify me, but they do. They really do terrify me. And I would love to say differently. And I have gone out and looked for them, but they do terrify me.
Yes, and let me be really clear. They do terrify me as well. Like I lived in Mexico for a couple of years, and there's wild dogs down there that I was bit. Like I was bit 10 times while I lived down there, and I just learned to be scared of dogs. And so when I came back to the U.S., I was scared of dogs for a while, you know. And so that's kind of how I'll talk about how I'm scared, because I am scared. If Sasquatch is angry, if they want you out, you will have the most terrifying, horrific, fearful moments of your entire life. And it is just as horrifying as people say. It's horrifying on a whole different level. Like I've been charged by moose and deer, and badgers and stuff. I've been charged by moose at night in the dark. And it's horrifying to look up and you can see, because moose's eyes, they glow, when you have a light on them, but they're so dark, you really can't see anything else. You see all this racket, and then you see these glowing eyes just coming right at you. That's horrifying, but it's not the same type of fear that Sasquatch can put into you. I mean, these guys are somehow, they have the ability to just absolutely give you this sense of death, of dread, just absolute dread. And it's a horrible feeling. It's horrible. And there have been times, and I'll go ahead and share this one. I don't think I've ever shared it before. There have been two times in particular that I actually, it's a good thing that my wife isn't here right now. she's at her parents' house, but there's a couple times that I really did, believe that I wasn't going to make it out of there. In fact, one time I had to go down these switchbacks, and it was I was caught up on top of a mountain in the dark, and I was trying to keep my dogs close to me. But they were whistling, or they were breaking branches or throwing things. And so my dogs were totally keyed in. So my dogs kept running away from me. It's almost like they were trying to get my dogs away from me. So they could just basically scare the hell out of me, you know? So I'm going down this thing. They're making all these scary noises. They're stomping. And they're getting closer and closer, and there's three of them, and they're totally flanking me, surrounding me. And I pulled out my phone, and I was going to call my wife. And I was literally, I mean, this is kind of a personal story, but I was literally going to say my goodbyes. And I mean, I'm telling you, this is a hard story to talk about. Because that was a tough moment. I mean, it's past the point of fear. It's like, it's almost like you've had so much adrenaline and you're so incredibly horrified, but then you reach a point where you like kind of accept, like, okay, this is actually happening. Like, I'm going to die. You know, and not only were the sounds and stuff scary, but there was this feeling in the air of like, get out of here. Like, we do not want you here. And, yeah, I thought that was a total goner. They definitely weren't happy at all. They were making it very clear that they were not okay with me being there. And when my dogs were away, it was just me by myself. I didn't even have a flashlight that night. I didn't even have a flashlight. I didn't expect to stay out till dark. So that was that. And another time, I mean, there's been times that were so incredibly terrifying that I actually had tears running down my face without even realizing. I didn't even realize that I had tears on my cheeks. But that's how scared I was. So those times do exist, that they have happened to me. And I never want that to happen again. I mean, it's not even something that I enjoy talking about it, because it's so freaking horribly negative. I'm going to say something kind of awkward. I've worked with a lot of abused individuals in whether it's abused teens, because I did wilderness therapy and stuff. I've worked with abused people, and it's kind of like the way that they feel about sexual abuse. If someone was sexually abused when they were younger, I know this is hard. This is like a weird thing to bring up, but if someone's like abused, that's something they never want to talk about. You know, they're not going to tell people how scary it was, or they just won't ever, ever, ever want to talk about it. And that's kind of what it's like when you get to this level of fear. It's not something that you ever even want to remember.
No, I get it. I appreciate you. You know, I know that's very personal, and I appreciate you talking about it, because you're right. It is, and I even hate to talk about this, but, you know, like with my own encounter, I can go into robot mode and tell you the encounter. But if I really stop and go back to that moment, you might catch me breaking down in tears telling you about the encounter. And it's so hard for people to understand that. It's so hard, you know, when you feel like, you're right, it's past the point of fear. It's you're at the point where you think, I'm not getting out of here alive. This is it. It's over after this. And it's really hard to describe that to someone unless you've actually, you know, I've talked to guys in the military that, mm-hmm. you know, they'll talk about moments in the military when they're getting shot at, or they've seen their buddies blow up and die, you know, in their arms, and they'll break down in tears when they talk about it, because they go right back to that moment. And you're right. If you go back to that moment, you know, when you're on the edge of calling your wife and saying goodbye, you know, you're past the point of fear. You think the end is coming. What kept you going back out there after something like that?
Dude, that's a really good question. I'm just weird. I don't respond to fear the same way. And I kind of knew too why they were doing what they were doing. One time, a researcher that I really respect, he told me, don't walk around in their hunting area at night. And if you ever do, you will regret it. And so maybe they were hunting, you know, but I realized, like, first of all, they didn't kill me. They didn't even hurt me. And they didn't even come out in the open. So I never even saw one of them. I knew it was them because they were throwing stuff, and they were snapping giant branches that a person probably wouldn't be able to snap. I could tell it was a huge branch that they were snapping, you know, and they were stomping, and it was bipedal. So I knew that it was a Sasquatch, but they didn't even hurt me. And that was weird. That was interesting. They could have thrown a rock, and they could have roughed me up, and they could have, you know, they could have bloodied my face. They didn't do that. They just wanted me to get the hell out of there. And so I was like, okay, you know, lesson learned. I will never, ever, ever push any sort of boundaries with these things. Like if there's any sign of aggression, then immediately I just back right out, respectfully back out. You know, I don't ever scream or wood knock or call blast or do any of that. I think that stuff is stupid, to be honest. I am just gonna be straightforward. I think it's just obnoxious. You know, if somebody started going around in your backyard saying like, Wes, what? You know, and it's like, it's just creepy, man. I don't want to go around yelling.
Well, it would depend on what she looked like. No, I get it. And I'm with you on it. I mean, when you go out and you start, you know, you got to think like a hunter. Hunters go out and they're silent. They don't go out and start banging on trees. You start screaming and yelling, and everything within a 5 mile radius is going to go the opposite direction of where you're screaming, yelling, or you're wood knocking or whatever, you know, throwing rocks or, you know, whatever these people do. But everything within 5 miles is going to go the opposite direction. is my opinion. I could be wrong.
No, so I agree. So I just, and they usually give you a couple warnings, or at least one. You know, they'll break a huge branch, or they'll throw a boulder out in front of you, you know, 50 feet in front of you or something, or they'll scream, or they'll do something. They'll do a super powerful wood knock that's so freaking loud that the sound hits you in the chest. And once that happens, you're like, okay, sorry. All right, guys. And I just back out. I just back out. And, I'm really careful about where I go at night. So that's kind of how I treat the aggression. But, you know, my fifth and sixth sightings were both through the thermal camera. My sixth sighting, I actually did record. But by the time, it was so stupid because I didn't have a mount for my iPhone, because I have to put my iPhone near the eye, what's it called, the little eyepiece for the thermal camera. I actually have to film with my iPhone, film through the lens of the thermal camera to get a video, because the thermal camera itself doesn't record, because I'm an idiot and I didn't buy the right one. So anyway, I had to set this. So there, I saw them through the thermal. There were two of them, and they were kind of, they're about, I don't know, 200 feet away, something like that. And my buddy was walking away. He was walking towards me, and they were to his back. They probably crawled up the hill to, you know, knowing that he was walking away, they probably crawled up the hill, but they were on their stomachs, and they crawled up the hill, and they were on either side of a tree. And the reason that I knew that they were probably Sasquatch was, one, we were hearing all, you know, we were hearing the knocks and the whoops and the whistles and rock clacking and all that. This, you know, the same old. But anyway, they came up on their bellies, and then they didn't stand up, but they crouched up on their haunches. And so I could see a head and shoulders for both of them. And so I was like, holy crap. So I had this little stupid rig, and I put my iPhone on it, and I screwed everything in. And by the time I actually started recording, they were back down on their bellies again. And you just can't see anything. The video is absolutely horrible. But, and then there was the other sighting that I had. I made a video about it. It lasted a super long time, about 20 minutes. And again, it was through the thermal camera, and I watched two of them just crouching there on the other side of a river. And they were just crouching there, and really nothing happened. One of them got up and walked away about 40 feet back, crouched back down. And I think he just continued to watch me. And the other one got down, the bigger one, got down and he belly crawled, he low crawled, behind a bush. And so really that's all that happened. But it was a super, we just stood there watching each other for like 20 minutes. And, it was crazy. During this time, one of the coolest things that happened during that one is that there was a knocking sound. It was like a tree knock, but they didn't move. Like they didn't grab a stick and whack anything. Nevertheless, there was like this big old tree knocking sound. So maybe it was a clap, or maybe it was something they did with their mouth, but that was pretty cool. I was like, oh, weird, because it definitely sounded like a tree knock, you know? So
why do you think,
anyway, those are, go ahead.
No. And I appreciate you sharing those. Why do you think they're in that area?
I thought that I could kind of predict like where they'd be, like, oh, in the summer they're up higher, in the winter they're down lower. But honestly, I haven't really figured out any way to predict exactly where they're, how high or how low they're going to be. So I don't know. I can't tell you why. Maybe they're hunting raccoons. I mean, there's not really any really big game down by the river where I was. And so I don't know, man. I don't know why they're down there.
No, and I get it. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that answer. You know, I wanted to ask you, what do you think? I know Hillary from
Australia will probably hate me saying her name, but she's one of my listeners. She hates it when I say that Sasquatch has to be killed. Well, I think one should be shot. And that's kind of the way I feel. I think if the government, I think there's government interference with these things. In fact, I'm 99.9% sure there's government interference with these things because I have talked to people who have shot them. I've talked to people who've gotten good videos of these things. But what do you think it'll take to actually prove this to the general public? To going back to the skeptic, the Nathan skeptic that was telling his nephew that these things aren't real, what would it take at that moment in time to prove to you that these things are real?
So literally, and I'm being serious, literally the only thing that you and I would ever disagree on, it's not guns or anything, because I really don't disagree with you on that. When I disagree, the only thing I disagree with you on is that science needs a body. I don't think it will be necessary. The thing that I think will be necessary is for people to, I mean, people think Sasquatch is fake, dude. Like you say, they think we're out chasing unicorns. People generally think that, just like me, before I started doing this, they think that people that believe in Sasquatch are stupid. They think they're gullible and just dumb, like that, you know, poorly educated or something. There's just a culture that in our country and pretty much all around the world that people that believe in Sasquatch are weird and they're kind of a little bit cuckoo. That's a culture, dude. And I think that the only thing really that needs to change is for that culture to change. I don't think we really need to. I mean, Wes, you and I both know that there's been Sasquatch killed on the freeway, on the highway. We know that they've been killed by hunters. We know they've been killed by, you know, natural stuff like, trees and stuff falling on them, but all those, just like you said, all those bodies disappear because there's some kind of weird interference. There's some kind of weird goon squad, you know? And so I don't think a body would really, I don't think it would do anything for the culture. I think, honestly, Wes, your show, that's the exact thing that's changing the culture. You know, more and more people are like, holy crap, there's way more here than I realized. And so once the culture changes and people are not so horrified to come out publicly and admit that they've seen a Sasquatch, then I think that the scientific community, as well as everybody else, will warm up to the idea and eventually accept it. That's just my opinion. I mean,
no, and I appreciate it, you know, and it would be nice, you know, I don't think my show is going to change anything. I appreciate the nice comment, but I don't know that my show is going to change anything. I would love to see the culture change, and maybe it's, I'm growing impatient with this because I want to move on to aliens or whatever else is out there that's weird. And I'd like for this to be done and for this to be solved, but I realize the world's not on my timetable. It would be nice if the culture would change. It'd be nice if the culture would change in the Bigfoot world. And most of my audience has no clue what the Bigfoot world's like. It's a nasty, nasty place. These online groups are nasty, filled with a bunch of nasty people, and everyone attacks each other. And, you know, so if you can't even change that, how are you going to change someone's opinion who doesn't believe in Bigfoot? You know, a lot of these groups online, they believe in Bigfoot, yet everyone's kind of jogging for a position, you know, of wanting to. And that's the other thing I never really understood, why someone would want to be, you know, popular in the Bigfoot world because it's such a nasty place. And I hate to say that. I'm sure, you know, 0.5% of my audience just turned off the show, but I could care less. But, you know, the bulk of my audience isn't in the Bigfoot world, but it really is a nasty place. And, you know, if you can't even change that, you know, the people in the Bigfoot world, to where people can be civil with each other, for me, it's hard to expect someone, you know, Nathan Rio telling his nephew that these things don't exist. I would like to feel like one didn't need to be shot. I don't take any great pleasure in saying that one needs to be shot. I didn't feel great about shooting deer when I was hunting and eating the meat. I just never felt great about it. And I always felt kind of bad. I always felt guilty about it. I always felt really bad deep down But, you know, I mean, you go in and you buy pork. What do you think you're buying? You know, they're killing pigs, you know, or you go in and buy beef or steak and it's a slaughter. Exactly. You know, they're doing the same thing.
Which is why I'm not against hunting at all. And some people think that I'm like anti-gun. No, not at all. I recently just got a gun. Actually, it's in my drawer here. But I'm not. I understand the shooting thing. If you wanted to shoot one, or if somebody did shoot one and they brought it in, they would have to do like a bunch of crazy stuff to hide the fact that they had a Sasquatch. They'd have to like one of your people says, one of the people in the forums on your website. Which I encourage listeners to subscribe to Sasquatch Chronicles website because it is a really cool experience. Anyway, there's my plug for you. But one of the guys in there says, cut off the hands, cut off the head, the feet, you know, whatever, cut off the body parts and then send them to different media stations. You know, you'd have to do weird stuff like that because if you just got a body and you brought, I mean, I don't even know what you do with the body. I don't know if you brought it to the one news station and you said, here's a dead body of a Sasquatch. The word would get out, the goon squad would show up, and suddenly there would be no more evidence. So it's kind of a complicated thing if you think about it.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think, obviously, it sounds like you believe the government's covering up. What's your own personal opinion on that? And there's no wrong answer.
Yeah. I think that the government cover-up is like way, way smaller than people think. Like way smaller. I don't think.
I agree.
I mean, what is the government? The government's thousands of different organizations working together. I mean, that's what the government is. And all these organizations have no idea what the other organizations are doing. So there's really no government cover up, but there is a small, tiny group probably somewhere that is specifically in charge of keeping this under wraps. And so, you know, like they remember that show when the semi truck driver, the Sasquatch charged his truck and he hit it and it killed it.
Yeah.
And, there was like a piece of its scalp stuck to his truck or something. But anyway, remember how that entire place that entire section of the street was completely replaced and repainted?
Yeah.
That was, I mean, that's kind of like what the cover-up is. Like, that body is nowhere to be found, and all the evidence is gone. That other guy that was hunting on Thanksgiving, there was one that was in the bush. It stood up, and then there was a smaller one growling at him in the tree, and he shot it, center of mass. Like, he shot it, and he came back with the game warden, and they collected some stuff. Anyway, he had two goons, you know, Grizzly Adams and the other guy, show up to his house and threaten him. So there does seem to be some sort of cover up. I mean, it does seem to be real, and it's like they're probably covering it up because I can't get away from finances. I can't get away from money. I don't know. I mean,
no, I hear you. I'll tell you a funny story about the guy, the last one you were just telling. I've actually talked to that guy and okay. I've asked him to come on the show and those guys shook him up so bad he wouldn't come on the show. But I've spoken with him about that encounter. And for the audience listening, basically, as Nathan said, he shot one and he went home. He contacted Fish and Game and then they came out. It's a long story, but he told me. He said, you know, Wes, I can't come on your show. These guys will come back if I come on your show. And I really don't want to talk about this anymore. And he listens to the show. He's probably listening to this now. And he just won't discuss it anymore. And so it makes you wonder, you know, beyond money, you know, people always say the lumber industry. I don't believe the lumber industry has that much pull in this. Let's say there was just a chimpanzee, a known primate out there in the woods. In the United States, I don't think the lumber industry has enough pull to cover that up.
there's more to it than that. That's my own personal opinion.
Yeah, well, we do know that there's like a weird thing in the lumber industry where they're not allowed to, like, they have to report, like, the loggers see them all the time, right? Like, you know this better than anyone else. You've been contacted by loggers, and we've heard stories where they can't even, like, mention the word Sasquatch in their emails. It's, like, against company policy or something, you know what I mean? And so there's some sort of thing, but yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's just the logging industry. I don't know, man. I actually just don't know what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, it's odd. It's odd. Whatever.
What if it's
it is.
Just, what if they're alien? What if they're connected to aliens, like everybody says, like all these people say? And what if the government doesn't want alien technology to be discovered? I don't know. I mean, it could literally be anything. I don't believe that alien stuff, really. But
no, I get you. I mean, and to be honest with you, I mean, I always say I don't have one in my garage. I'm studying, so I couldn't tell you really what they are. I can tell you my opinion. And that's one thing I wanted to ask you, Nathan, after looking into this and having encounters. And again, I've talked to people who've gone out with you, and they've told me, this guy's no joke, man. He'll take you into areas. David about broke down in tears when he was on the show. I'm sure he won't like me saying that, but, you know, he was upset. He was like, man, I was shocked at the amount of activity. But after looking into this the way you have, what is your own personal opinion? And again, there's no wrong answer, but what do you think Sasquatch is?
I wouldn't say, dude, look, I'm not a researcher, and I wouldn't say I've really looked into this. I've just ran around in the forest because I'm like ridiculously fascinated by this whole thing. But what do I think Sasquatch is? Here's what I think it is. I can answer that question very, very decisively. It is a large, hair-covered bipedal primate, like us. We're primates also. It's an ape, also like us. We are apes. We're one of the five great apes. I mean, by definition, Sasquatch has to be an ape. It has the opposable thumbs, it has rotator cuffs, it can throw objects. It has the same type of eyes, the forward-facing eyes. There's so many, and it's bipedal. So obviously it by definition, it is an ape. I think it's silly how people are like, don't call it an ape. It's a person. It's human. Don't call it an ape. It's like, well, you just called it an ape by calling it human. You know? So anyway, it's an ape. I mean, it's a primate, but the question isn't, what is it? The question is, you know, what more is it? Like what can it do beyond the things that we can do? Like, what other qualities does it have? You know, we know kind of what physically, we know what it looks like. I mean, I've seen enough deer that have been mutilated and their bones have been stacked up by Sasquatch. So I obviously know that it's a flesh and blood creature that needs to eat meat. They'll go to tons. They must spend tons of time hunting and put a lot of energy into that. So obviously they need to, they're flesh and blood. They need to eat. I found their droppings. You know, I found their hair. I found their footprints. They're flesh and blood creatures, but what else are they? I mean, are they something? I don't know. I don't know what they are beyond a flesh and blood primate. A lot of people say that they can do all these special things like mind speak and stuff. I've never experienced any of that, but what do I know? You know, I don't know anything. I don't know what these things are beyond an ape. That's all I can say.
No, and that's a good answer. You know, it's, I kind of feel the same way, and you hear about some of these odd things that they do, and it makes you wonder it makes you just stop and go, I don't know. I don't know what to think about that, because I've been told a lot of strange things, by very sincere people. And a lot of times, and they don't want to come on the air. That's the other thing, is they don't want to come on the air. They don't want to talk about it, but you hear some of that stuff and you're like, I don't know what to think about that. I really don't know. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you had that guy on that. There was that weird, creepy lady in the big shoes and the clothes that were tight. And he like commanded her to stop. Remember that?
The two brothers.
Funky. Yeah. And then they blessed his house. Right? I mean, that's just funky stuff. Just the other day, I was out with a guy. He's a very well-to-do, productive member of society, completely sane, really good guy. He's in his middle ages or whatever. He told me, he said, "Hey, man, I was out in the Uinta National Forest, or in the Ashley National Forest. It's in the Uinta Mountains." And he says, "I was walking along and suddenly a Sasquatch started saying stuff in my head." And he says, "I swear to you, this is true." And this is a total, I trust this guy completely. It's so weird that he said that. And to be honest, like, out of all the strange, weird things that people say about Sasquatch, the easiest one for me to believe is the telepathy thing, because scientists have already, there's all sorts of studies that have been about that, that have been on telepathy, and telepathy is a real phenomenon. So that's not too much of a stretch for me to believe, but it's still hard to believe though. But I mean, yeah, so I don't know, like, suddenly you have these people that you trust and they say this stuff, you know? So I don't know what to think about that. All I can say is I've never experienced it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And it's hard to know what to make of that kind of stuff when you hear it. You know, I really appreciate you coming on, Nathan, and sharing your encounters and sharing your whole experience with this whole thing. I found it fascinating that you were such a skeptic. And then, you know, now you go back out and I appreciate the fact that they terrify you and you still go out. I mean, that takes a lot of balls. I think sometimes curiosity gets the best of us with these things. And I can't, I'm not above you by any means. I mean, I've gone out late at night. I try and stay away from where I had my encounter, but I've gone into areas at night looking for these things. And it's terrifying to me. But why I go out there, I don't have an intelligent answer for anyone. You would think I would stay out of the woods 24/7, but there's this weird fascination with it.
If I had an encounter like yours, I probably wouldn't ever want to go out again. I mean, you're the brave one. I mean, that encounter was absolutely crazy. I've never had an encounter even remotely like that one. So you're the brave one.
Or stupid.
If I end up
probably stupid, not brave.
Well, that's what I am too. So anyway, yeah, no, I love being on your show. I really appreciate it. Really appreciate what you do, Wes. It's really, really a good thing. So,
well, thank you again for coming on.
All right, brother. All right, well, have a good night, man.
And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. Until next time, everyone, have a great night.